2018. Man, for the last 3 months, no joke, we've had to listen to children, our children, ask, when are we going back to Center Point? When do we get to go back to Center Point? We want to go to Center Point. And here we are. Andy, we made it. Avery. Avery's back there somewhere with the Novaks. Avery, we're here. Yeah. I tell you what, these girls love this church. Can you imagine how hard it would be to pastor a church if your family didn't like it? Or if the church didn't like you? Now, I have a couple of images in mind right now, and these are extreme because I'd love to be a fly on the wall of your brain right now. But the one image I have is the really far left extreme, and it's of this old guy who lives alone, but he has a dog. And he wants to get rid of the dog, and so he puts the dog in his truck, and he drives him real far out in the country, and he drops him off out in the middle of nowhere. And then he turns around and heads back home, but when he pulls in the driveway, the dog's sitting on the front porch, you know? And the guy's like, oh, he came back. Yeah, for if you didn't think I was coming back, here I am, right? Apologies. But the second image that I've been working on is it's like two friends that just haven't seen each other in a really long time. And I'm picturing like college girls, right? Like Anna and Marcy are here. They're getting ready to go back to Trevecca. And there's some friends there that when they see them, it's just going, oh, it's so good to see you. Let's catch up. You know, and it's like, how are you going to catch up on 3 months, right? You can't do that in a Sunday morning. You can't do that with a 20-minute sermon. You could do it with an hour and a half sermon. Nah, I'm just kidding. I did. Somebody already this morning said to me, like, this will be the best sermon you've ever preached because you've had 3 months to work on it. Yeah, Matt, I've been sitting at home writing sermons. That's what I've been doing. Now, it's so good to be back. Hey, if you're visiting today, maybe this is your first time ever at Center Point, or maybe you stumbled in here after having been gone for a long time. I can pretty faithfully say you came into a place this morning that is filled with gracious, generous, loving, God-filled people. You stumbled into a great place today. And whether you choose to be a part of this church in the days ahead or you going to find some other church, I know that God's at work in and through this place. And when it comes to sabbatical, the Adams family just wants to say a very heartfelt thank you. This has been an incredible gift to us. If you're out there and you think sabbatical was like just picnicking on a hillside every day and all gumdrops and lollipops, there's a little bit of confusion about sabbatical. Because while this for us has been an incredible time, a great time of rest and renewal, time together, travel, time with our girls, it's also been a difficult time at points. There have been times where I felt like Frodo, like I was bearing the ring and the enemy had a target on my back. And we got to figure out, like, what in the world is going on here? This is supposed to be one of the greatest 3 months of our lives. And what does it mean for us to have to deal with this conversation or this situation in the midst of this very joyful time? But the Lord has been faithful to bring us through it. You're here. Like, the church is here. The church didn't fall apart because Dwayne wasn't around. It's probably better today. Maybe another sabbatical would be in order, right? Because it seems to be so good. Like, let's... In 7 years. That's why you're not on the board, Brad. I'm so glad you're on the front row, too. No, it's been a very meaningful time, and I look forward to sharing parts of that journey with you. If you like subscribe to my blog, in the first blog I sent out, I said I may or may not do this, and in fact, you know now that I didn't do it. So I have a lot to tell, publicly because I didn't blog anything along the way. But Marley was very good to keep Facebook going for us, and so we had a chance to travel and take pictures and smile and things like that. So. Thank you so much, Center Point. If you're visiting today, my name is Dwayne, by the way. I'm the lead pastor. This is my first Sunday back in 3 months, so we're just kind of catching up for a minute. Well, hey, for the next few moments, I want us to turn our attention to Psalm chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, please open up with me to Psalm 1. If you don't have your Bible, please bring it with you next week. And if you don't own a Bible, if we can help you get one, we want to help put one in your hands so that that Bible, either in printed text or on your device or whatever it is you're going to read the Bible on, so that can become a permanent fixture in your life so that you can carry it with you, so that you can take it to work and to school and have it in your home. So if there's anything that I can do, that we as a church can do to help put a Bible in your hand, please, please, please let us help you do that. Well, we're going to get into 2018. I've set the next 3 weeks today and then 3 more weeks aside to talk about some sabbatical reflections. And Pastor Alyssa loves it when I give her such a vague topic as that. Like she loves a little more direction. But that's where we are right now. I want to be able to share about some things that I feel like the Lord's been saying in my life and calling me to communicate to you through this time of sabbatical. But not simply as a side item to my sabbatical, but for us as a church as we go into 2018. Just a reminder for us, the church is not an institution that is just running on its own where a bunch of people that we never see or hear or know go out and bless others or help the community. The church is people, flawed people like me, flawed people like you, but people who have come to this point in life to express what we've expressed already this morning. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. People gathered just like this to try to be faithful to God through His Holy Spirit empowering us each and every day. In other words, you don't possess and I don't possess what I need. You don't have what you need to be who God's calling you to be. You need the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you need the help and the support of other brothers and sisters to be faithful to God and to whatever He calls you to. All right? So here we are, Psalm 1, and we're just going to walk through this together for a little bit. Not going to take a long time this morning. You can hear my throat. I know it's really fun to listen to someone talk when they have a frog in their throat. I said to Andy this morning, I have a frog in my throat, and she's like, really? So fourth graders are really concrete thinkers, you know, like nothing's abstract for them. Yeah, I have a frog in my throat. It's a figure of speech, baby. It just means daddy sounds kind of hoarse right now. Horse, yeah. So here we go. Psalm 1 starts off with the word blessed. Okay? Very literally, the word blessed in the Hebrew better translates into the word happy. Happy. Happy New Year. Happy because I'm happy. Joy. Things like that. So blessed or happy or joyful are those who do not, okay? And the psalmist offers three things for us. Those who do not do these three things. Those who do not walk in step with the wicked, stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Blessed are those who do not. Blessed are those who do not sit or stand or step on the path of wickedness. Now, you know what it's like to live out in the world. You live out probably more in the real world than I do. What does it mean to step in the way of the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers? This kind of three-pronged approach that the psalmist gives us is a way of reinforcing this idea. Blessed are those who do not. Who do not what? Who do not keep company with those who live in ways that we know are against the way of God. But who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. Blessed are those who do not, and blessed are those who do. Who do what, Dwayne? Blessed are those who delight, who find joy, who find peace, who find comfort in the law of the Lord and meditate on His law day and night. Well, what about that person? What about their life? What do they look like? How do they live? Well, here's what they look like. Verse 3, they are like a tree. They're like a tree. That person who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on His word day and night, what are they like? They are like a tree. What kind of tree? Well, in my mind, it's a willow tree because that's my favorite tree. What kind of tree? What's your favorite tree? Think about your favorite tree. That's the kind of person who delights in the law of the Lord. They're like a tree who is what? Who is planted by the streams of water. So this is not just a random tree out in the middle of the desert somewhere. This is a tree that's been very intentionally planted, placed by a stream of water. Well, if you were a tree, wouldn't you want to be planted by a stream of water? I would. Why? Because if the stream keeps water in it, you're going to continue to garner and gather nourishment from the ground. And if you allow your roots to go deep, that stream's going to be there. That ground's going to be saturated. You're going to find all the strength and nourishment you need in the ground through your roots to give you whatever it is you need to do. To do what? To bear fruit in season. So let me back up because I know I've been talking a lot. Blessed are those who do not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but who delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. They are like a tree planted by streams of water. And what does that tree do? It yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. What does it mean to be planted somewhere? There's a couple of different nuances or different directions you can go when you talk about being planted. One way is to literally have a seed, have a sapling, have a tree be put into the ground, dig a hole, place it there, and then cover it up. And any of you that have ever planted a garden before, you've ever planted a flower or a bush or a tree before, you understand there's much more gratification to planting something that's already a little bit grown than planting a seed. Because when you plant a seed, you cover it up with dirt and then you wait. And depending on what you planted, you may or may not see anything for a very long time. It's interesting that the psalmist says that person is like a tree planted. In other words, it appears that there was a little bit of something there. There was already a little sapling that somebody went to the nursery and bought. Somebody rolled into the nursery of ancient Israel and said, hey, I need a little tree. I need a sapling because I'm going to plant it out by the stream. In other words, there was already a little bit of substance to my life. But the psalmist is calling me to be planted intentionally where? By the stream of water. What is that person? That's the person who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his word day and night. That person is planted, placed right here in this spot so that roots can go deep, so that roots can gather and garner nourishment from the water that's already saturating the ground. In other words, the nutrition that that plant needs can come from a place that is completely unseen. One of the things that God's been speaking to me through this sabbatical is a reminder that my public life is nowhere as near as important as my private world, my inner world. And for each and every one of us, wherever it is we gather our strength, wherever it is we garner our nourishment, whatever it is that is feeding us in the unseen places of our lives, that will be that which influences our public world. The last thing I want for my wife, the last thing I want for my girls, for this church, is to be a myth. What do you mean by that, Dwayne? I mean, I don't want to be somebody up here behind the pulpit that I'm not at home in the privacy of our family. One of the things that I know should be happening when I plant my life in the way of God is there should be a private nutrition that I'm taking in with God that then makes its way through me, this tree, this person, that then bears fruit into the lives of others. Because if I'm simply bearing fruit, I'm simply giving publicly, but I don't have my roots down deep with the Lord and the Word of God, I'm going to die soon. And it might be a slow death. There might even be some beauty there when my leaves turn red and orange and yellow and people look at it and go, wow, that's really pretty. But eventually I'm going to die. One of the other nuances about being planted is not simply digging a hole, putting something in the ground and covering it up. One of the other nuances is the idea of taking a position on something. To plant yourself in a particular spot, in a particular area, on a particular issue. And the last thing I want to do today is talk about any issues going on in the world. 2018, there's enough stuff, enough drama out there. I could stand up right now and make a political statement or a socioeconomic statement, right? And we could find divisive issues among us, things that we want to disagree and argue and debate about. That's not the point this morning. One of the ways I plant myself, though, is to put myself in the position that God wants me to be, to plant myself in the Word of God. And so the psalmist gives us this image of a person who delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. He yields fruit in season, and whatever he does prospers. But there's another planting that I want to highlight this morning, and it comes out of Mark chapter 1. So if you flip over with me to Mark chapter 1, this isn't so much the idea of having something be put in the ground, but it's when Jesus takes a particular position, a particular stance on life. Today, all across the world, all across the Christian world, churches are celebrating the baptism of Jesus. So we've just come off the Christmas season, okay? Today in the life of the church is when we remember and celebrate the baptism of Jesus. It's a time for us to remember and celebrate our own baptism. And here's what happens in Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. It says, "And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to meet him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey." Anybody good for lunch today? "This was John's message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased.'" So we have this image in Psalm 1 about this tree being planted right by the stream of water, that which is going to give life and nutrient, sustenance to this tree. And that tree is going to bear fruit in and out of season. And then we flip over to Mark chapter 1, and we talk about Jesus' baptism, and we find ourselves this time not by a stream, but we find ourselves by a river. And we find this person, Jesus, standing in the river. And John the Baptist baptizes, takes Jesus down, and he lifts Jesus up out of the water. And for one of the very few times in the New Testament, we hear the words of God the Father. One of the very few times in the New Testament, we hear the words of God the Father. And God the Father takes a position on Jesus. He takes a position on this person that's standing in this river. He takes a position on this individual, and he makes it known publicly. And here's what he says about Jesus. He says, "This is my Son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. This is a truth that I have proclaimed to you several times over the last 6 years, and it's been a reminder to me over the last 3 months. When Jesus was baptized, God takes a position on Jesus. He says, 'You're my Son. I love you. With you, I am well pleased.'" And one of the very central truths about Jesus' ministry at this point is Jesus has not done anything. Jesus has not healed anybody. He hasn't performed a miracle. He hasn't taken a few loaves and a few fish and fed 5,000 people. Jesus hasn't walked on water by this point. He hasn't turned water into wine. He hasn't made the blind see. He hasn't taken an adulterous woman and freed her and told her to go into a new way of life. Jesus hasn't done anything by this point. Jesus hasn't borne any fruit by this point. Nobody has come to Jesus weary and plucked an apple off of Jesus so that they could find nourishment and strength in the midst of starvation or hunger. He hasn't offered anything yet. And the position that God takes on him is says, you're my child and I love you. With you, I am well pleased. Maybe you live a Christian life, or maybe you live a secular life towards your own mom and dad where you feel like your whole life you've had to perform in order to get their approval. So when you got second place or you got third place, you didn't really want to come home because you knew it wasn't good enough. If you got a B or a C, you didn't want to come home because you knew it wasn't an A. Friends, can I tell you today, on this brink of 2018, God has taken a position on you. And that position is simply this. You are his child. And he loves you. And there's nothing that you need to do or can do or could do to make God more pleased with you. He is pleased with you today. And so what happens then? If we begin to draw our strength from that truth, if we plant ourselves in that truth, I'm a child of God. He's pleased with me. He loves me. I begin to draw my nourishment from the ground that God has saturated. I no longer have to depend on somebody else to fill my tank. I now get to live in the truth that God has given me. And so when my life, when this tree bears fruit, others can come and pick from it and be nourished and be strengthened by it. I don't have to do anything to earn God's approval. I don't have to do anything to earn God's favor. I don't have to do anything to make God happy with me. I now get to live a life for God that bears fruit in the hearts and lives of others because I am his child and he loves me. Friends, wouldn't you much rather do something not out of fear of being rejected? Wouldn't you rather live a life living into the grace of knowing that you've already been accepted, you've already been loved, and you can now live to continue to please the Father through the strength and the nourishment that he gives as you live in step with him. Can I get an amen right there? So I don't know about you. I don't know where you've been for 2017, but I know for me, 2018, I want there to be a renewed energy in being planted by the stream of living water that is Jesus, to be in his word, to be in prayer, to be in worship, to be in conversation that strengthens me, lifts me up, encourages me in my walk with Christ. So that 2018 becomes a season of planting in my life so that fruit will appear in the days ahead. One of the jokes we have in our home is that when Marley goes to Lowe's and she buys plants and shrubs and flowers, we have a little mini funeral as soon as she brings them in the door, right? Because this is a beautiful woman, and I love her dearly. She's my soulmate, but she can't keep plants alive. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. We kill them real good, don't we, baby? And we do it together. We do it together. But we kill them so good. We can't keep a grapevine alive long enough to bring us any grapes. The few times we brought home some blueberry bushes, Mia picked all the blueberries off. Here's the thing about planting, church. You got to plant. You got to water your relationship with the Lord. And fruit comes in his time. He's the God of the harvest. And your harvest will come in proportion to your sowing. You say, Dwayne, I want God to bear fruit through my life. Well, sow. Plant yourself by the stream of living water. That is Jesus. Take in his word. Take in his way. Surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you and strengthen you in your walk with the Lord. And in his time and in his way, he'll start to bring forth fruit in your life. It's not something you have to do. Not something you have to try. In fact, you can't do it. All you can do is live in him, Plant yourself by his stream and let him be your strength. Him be your nourishment, and he'll bring forth the fruit that he wants to bring in you. And that's exactly what we saw in the life of Jesus. After God proclaimed his blessing on Jesus, Jesus went out and began to preach, and he began to bear fruit. That's where we're going to go next week. We're going to extend on Mark chapter 1, and then later in the month, we're going to jump over to Acts 19. We're going to hear that passage at the end of the day today. Well, here's the thing. God wants to bring fruit in your life. You know why? Because you were made to be a blessing to those around you. Dwayne, what's my responsibility? Your responsibility is to plant yourself in the living word and let him be your nourishment. Let him be your strength. Why? So he can bear fruit in your life in the days ahead. Why? Because that's what he wants you to do. He wants your life to be a blessing to those around you. What do you mean, those around me? Your neighbors, your coworkers, your school teachers, your peers, your classmates, your teammates, your boss. And here's the thing. We live in a world that is definitely searching for something. We live in a world that's searching for hope, searching for comfort in the midst of disaster, in the midst of war, in the midst of strife, in the midst of pain and illness and heartache and divorce and broken relationship. God wants to bring forth fruit from your life so that you will be a blessing to those in the world that are searching and still haven't found what it is they're looking for and hoping for. A couple of weeks ago, Google released their 2017 search list. My brain belongs to Google, right? If Google ever goes out one day, I'm done, because there goes all my emails, there goes my calendar, all my Google Docs, all my Google Photos. I mean, my life is wrapped up in Google. And Google is an incredible machine, right? As a cultural piece, Google has become its own icon, right? What do you say? Well, does anybody know how to spell? I don't know. Give me some weird word. No, we all know how to spell that one, Will. What? Does anybody know how to spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? Just Google it, right? It's become a word. We have a friend who works for Microsoft up in Seattle, and he mentioned one day that somebody in a Microsoft meeting, if you don't know this, Microsoft owns Bing, right? And Bing is a search engine, one of the competitors of Google. And one day in one of their Bing meetings, a question came up that nobody had the answer to, and the Microsoft employee said, well, just Google it, right? And at that point, everybody's like, Google is an incredible machine, because each and every time you go to their little search bar and you type in something, they log it. Google knows every internet search you've ever done that's been associated with your email address. And one day when you die, your family will get to review all that. Google recently released their 2017 search list. You say, Dwayne, what's that? It is the top-rated searches that people put on Google for the entire year of 2017. It's a pretty good cultural representation of the world in which we live. And I want you to watch it here with me if you'll focus your attention on the screen. See where we've been as a society for the last year. When you were baptized, God took a position on you. Said, you're my child. I love you. With you, I am well pleased. And the same thing that happened in Jesus' life is what he calls to happen in our own lives, is that we get up from that baptism and we go out into our world to proclaim his good news, to let him bear fruit through us in his way, in his time, in his season. In church in 2018, our place, our prerogative, our hope is to plant ourselves in the stream of living water that is Jesus, and let him work and fuel us for the world that he's sending us into. Amen? Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for this new year. God, we're already a week into it, and I'm sure resolutions have already been marked off the list and thrown in the trash. But God, we know that at the end of the day, we're not living for a New Year's resolution. We're hoping to live into the very call that you've placed on us as your children. So God, remind us this morning that there's nothing we could ever do to make you love us more, and there's nothing we could ever do to make you love us less. You love us just as we are, but you don't want us to stay as we are. You want to change us from the inside out and be sent into a world like ours. So God, as we think about the world around us and we think about the questions that are being asked, may we be faithful, Lord, to plant ourselves in the one who has all answers. For the one who's been tempted in every way that we would ever be tempted, that has gone through more than we could ever go through, to find ourselves, Lord, by your stream of living water. God, keep us in the Word. Keep us in prayer. God, surround us with friendship that will be godly conversation of encouragement and strength building in our lives. And God, if there's any good that you want to do through us, if there's any fruit that you want to bear through our lives, God, we'll give you the freedom to do that, and we'll be faithful to plant ourselves in you this new year. So God, thank you for all the blessings you've given us. We are a blessed people. God, help us to be a blessing to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Will you stand and let's sing the doxology together.